This morning's text is our gospel and our epistle readings. Please join me in prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, through your Son, Jesus the Christ, you've told us that unless our righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, we will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So you sent him to be our Savior, to die in our place, and to send the Holy Spirit that our hearts and minds would be opened to hear his voice. We pray now that as we gather around his word for us, that you pour that same Spirit into our hearts, that through his work we would hear the voices of our shepherd, Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment, and whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. Wow. Strong words. We were just speaking earlier about this text in the back. And it was said, how can our righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees and the scribes? It can't. But they too were filled with sin. They had taken that law that God intended for it to be so good and made it into a god. For you see, if you try and keep all the commandments perfectly, you've always broken one. The first one. You shall have no other gods before me. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And the Pharisees and the scribes were trusting in that law for their salvation. And in fact, they put 617 other laws around it to protect it. Down to tithing the tiniest amounts of produce from their gardens. I guess you could call them holier than thou, couldn't you? You know what? We're kind of the same way. No matter how hard we try, we still have this inward born disease called sinfulness. You see, our desire is to be doing good things for ourselves. Not necessarily helping our neighbor, not necessarily following what God has asked us to do, and certainly not being faithful to him, because we are sin-filled. The Greek word for sin is amartia. It's an archery term. It means literally to miss the mark. How many times a week do we miss that mark? I dare say probably many times. We get angry. We say hurtful things. We sometimes just plain old get tired of it all and growl at people. We always miss that mark because we're human. Jesus continues on saying, so if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you paid the last penny. Pretty clear teaching. Jesus is saying, not only in this realm of our relationship with God, but we also ought to go and be reconciled to our brothers and sisters. It doesn't necessarily have to be a lawsuit. It doesn't have to be crime. But sometimes when we get angry, we say hurtful things. We do hurtful things. It's been known that for me, when I get angry, I get quiet. I get really quiet. And when that happens, people just kind of like, I don't blame them. Pretty ugly to be around at that time. But you see, no matter how hard we try, we cannot hit the mark that God demands. But here's the good news. Paul writes, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." We too might walk in newness of life. How can our righteousness exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees? Trusting our baptism. Living in that baptismal grace every day. Last night I spoke at Zion here in Hastings, and I described our old Adam as a good swimmer. Luther says that our old Adam was drowned by baptism at the font, but that bugger can really swim. He comes up every morning, latches onto our hearts and our minds and our spirits, and says, "I'm going to do what I want." So we make the sign of the cross, say the Lord's Prayer, the Apostles' Creed, and Luther's morning prayer, and then go about our day, and the Lord's Prayer too, by the way. We go about our day with cheerfulness, knowing that our God and Father will keep us in his power. We were buried, therefore, but with him by baptism into his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this, like his. You see, we have already died to sin. We've been set free from it. We've been set free from the consequences of that sin. Do we still sin? Yes. Do we still miss the mark? By all means. But we're no longer subject to its ramifications. We're no longer subject to hell, to death. For you see, we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. No longer has death any dominion over him. And it was a death he died for all. So the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. One of the things that I think is probably one of the most beneficial things that there is in our church is individual confession. And absolution. I call it holy absolution. For you see, it's there that those burdens that we have are laid out in front of the pastor, who then absolves you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for each sin. Do you believe this is true? Your answer is yes. Do you believe the forgiveness that I proclaim is Christ's forgiveness? Yes. No more burden. I've done private absolution many times, actually. And you know, probably 80% of the people who do that are left with such a feeling of relief that they cry, a cry of joy. That's how our righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. Faith in forgiveness through Jesus Christ. The knowledge that he was born, was raised perfectly and sinless, died a death of a sinner on a cross, was buried and was raised again 3 days later. And in doing that, he left every sin of every human being who has ever lived, who ever will live, who lives now in that grave. And then when he ascended, he brought man back into his rightful place in God's presence. And that will be where you will be also. The sure and certain promise of Jesus Christ that where you will be, where I am, there you also will be. May that be your comfort now and always as you live your lives as his redeemed children. Amen.